formal meal. Maybe when we go, where are we going?
We're going to Milwaukee.
We're going to Milwaukee.
We're going staying, to see Jeff Dunham.
Seeing Jeff Dunham, staying at the Drury Inn.
Was it December 31st? Was it New Year's Eve?
Ooh.
Is that New Year's Eve? Oh, I can't wait.
I'll have to talk to my missus about that. Can we bring plus ones, Gary?
Why are you asking me? I said,
because you're paying
I
for
said
them.
Nah.
Yeah, it's on your dime.
I said
no. It's on Milaj's dime.
You said no. I don't remember you saying no.
I said
no.
A short, simple no.
I didn't see that.
I don't think it went through.
No, it's probably stuck in my fucking draft then.
Outbox.
It's a draft.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to draft it. Think about it.
Yeah, you might
draft.
Need to rewrite no.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to rush into the word no. Let me just have a think about the ins and outs of it.
No. Well, I imagine you can write a lot of stuff off here. Maybe this isn't the venue for talking about what you write off for this business. But
write off. The only thing this business ever has written off is my fucking hopes and dreams.
Yeah. Well, my wife and I were having a shout out to my wife, by the way, who I just want to say hello to her. If she's out there. I know she's out there listening.
You got to cozy up to our one listener, right?
Yep. We celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary.
Hey.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Got any sound effects? You need sound effects and drops over there.
Leave a gap.
Can we get that for him?
I could probably get one on my phone.
Not to piss on your chips, but my 28th togetherness anniversary
is
Friday, yeah.
Are you?
Oh, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long way to go.
Can we make it through to Friday?
Because you're an illegal alien, are you still seen as a common law marriage in this country?
I don't know.
I think you're common law. Well, it's supposed to be if you've lived together under the same roof, kind of like a whorehouse, right? If so many women live under the same roof, it's considered a whorehouse. I don't know.
That's illegal.
Brothel is the term, not whorehouse. But if you live under the same roof with a gal for 10 years, or anyone, I guess it's not just a gal, you're considered common law married. You're married. Did you know that? 28 years married. You've been living together for 28 years?
No, living together for about 18, I would say.
Hey, you're coming up on your 8th.
What are you going to do to celebrate?
Your anniversary.
We're going to see. We're doing the John Lennon birthday party at Martyrs.
Oh, they do like some bloke comes out and sings Lennon songs?
Yep.
English fella, I imagine?
No.
Yeah. No?
Yank.
A yank? Whoa. That sounds awful.
Yeah, and then we were looking at theater and stuff, but not getting far with theater options in Chicago right now.
Well, since you're such a Beatles fan, the Yoko Ono retrospective opens on next week at the MCA. Some of her art will be on display. Yoko Ono. Are you familiar with her?
Not at the YMCA, at the MCA.
Yeah, not the YMCA.
It's fun to stay at the MCA.
I need a sound effect for that.
Yeah.
We don't get him singing much. Good mood today.
Ba-ding.
So I want to say happy anniversary to my wife out there. And once again, I'm not going to be drawn in here by you guys. And maybe this viz is a bad starting point to any locker room talk. Because you get me into the locker room talk, and that leads me down a troubled marital road.
We'll be visiting the locker room, I would think.
Okay, yeah. All right. I know we're going to do the viz, but I thought of a new game today for us to play at some point. It's more a game for you and I, Christian. And
okay.
It's called What Can Mark Afford? And we throw out different things, kind of like The Price is Right.
Uh-huh.
Who, shout out to Adam Crotius and his bride, not bride, his gal, who were on The Price is Right last week. Did you see it?
No.
We sit here and I'll say, okay, can Mark afford this? And I'll say something like, dinner at the Olive Garden. And you'll say yes or no, whether you can afford it. And then Mark will say whether he can afford that or not.
Whether I'm right or not.
Yes, because it keeps coming up on the show about you saying you can't afford, certain things.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's play.
All right, let's play right now, and then we'll do your viz.
I'll take my glasses off then because they're sending me bog-eyed.
Okay, first one. I don't have any prepared here on a sheet. I didn't know we were going to do this, but I'm an improviser. Did the A class at Second City.
Hey.
Okay. Brand new Nike sneakers.
Brand new Nike sneakers. Afford financially, yes. Mentally, no.
Mark, can you afford brand new Nike sneakers? I didn't put a price on them.
Well, is the question, can I afford them or would I buy them, and what would I buy in its place? I don't buy Nike. I like old school skateboardy type things.
Okay. So new sneakers, I should just say. I shouldn't get specific. Mm-hmm. New sneakers. Can he afford them?
I have bought them.
You've bought new sneakers recently?
Maybe 10 years ago, but okay. That's recent.
That's a no. No.
What happens now is my English friends keep buying me new stuff.
Oh,
so
really?
They bought me these Adidas 3 stripes.
Those are very old. They look like they've been marinated. like a line cook.
I got some others, but they're, you know, when you put your shoes on, and you're like, these are not quite right.
Yeah.
I got to break them in. Mind you, they bought me these. I didn't wear these for 3 years.
They just sat in the box?
Brand new, yeah.
Because you hadn't worn out the previous pair enough?
Yeah.
Okay. I've done that exact thing. I've got a closet with some Adidas just that I wore years ago, and then I put them away because, let's say I bought some new ones. I was like, okay, these are the ones for this season. But then those ones will get worn out, and I'll just kind of cycle through. And they hold up. Adidas, quality stuff.
I prefer Adidas. Yeah, I got the Rod Laver on. It's a very heavy shoe. I don't know how Rod Laver played tennis in these things, and things weigh like 5 pounds each. Okay, next thing. Mark's anniversary is coming up. It's 28th anniversary. Can he afford a night at a downtown hotel for Heather to have a shagathon?
Yeah, I think so, especially if you go on Priceline, you get one of those like last minute deals, you know? Not saying that he can't afford full price one, but that is the way, if it were to go down, something like that is how I predict it to go.
I'm gonna say no, he can't afford such an extravagance.
I can, and I have done.
Ooh. Really?
I don't have problems spending money on other people. Oh. Just me.
Okay.
Oh, another layer is removed.
And for my next one, do you have one you want to ask me about what Mark can afford?
No.
Okay. Ken, because this one comes up a lot, all right, when we talk about how we're watching these specials. Today's special was on Netflix. We know from previous episodes Mark cannot afford Netflix. Or no, he has Netflix, but he can't afford something else.
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime he cannot afford. We know that. Can Mark afford BritBox, the British streaming bullshit?
Can and does.
Can and does?
Yes.
Inside information. You've walked into that one.
Okay. All right, last one, then we'll do Viz. Can Mark afford to go to the movies? Movie theater.
Yes, but I think it's going to be a matinee.
It's going to be a matinee.
Right.
He will not spend money at a movie theater, correct?
I do.
You do go to the movies?
In fact, I yearn for the days where I used to go all the time, guilt-free, just fuck it, I'm going to see Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I went to see The Anderson one on my own on Sunday.
Did you like it? Come on, it was great.
It was
everybody
great.
Likes it.
Great
you can't
until
like
the
it.
End. The end was weak.
What's the Anderson one?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. But we don't want to, you know, the P.T. Anderson.
P.T., not Wesley.
Not P.T. Barnum, P.T. Anderson.
Was it a series of battles?
One battle after another.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I've seen a trailer for that, yes.
Yeah.
It is. At some points, I was thinking, is he like just copying Quentin Tarantino at this point?
It does feel a little. That one did feel like a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood-ish.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I kept feeling that in there. I don't know why. But
That's not with Matt Damon, is it?
What's the
Matt Damon movie out?
Well,
right
they're
now?
Both Leonardo's.
There is a Damon movie coming.
Oh, is it Leonardo DiCaprio? I'm thinking of. Is he in a movie that everybody's talking about where he plays somebody's father?
Yes.
Yep.
What movie is that?
One Battle After Another.
Oh, that's that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've heard rave reviews.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. Don't listen to him. It's great.
No, I didn't say it wasn't great. It so pulled me along. Pulled me along. And then the ending was obviously a disappointment.
You always find something, though, right? I feel like...
I felt like it was going to end in Leo's death or just something cataclysmic. I mean, here's the deal, right? Not to give any spoilers to our several listeners, but...
Shout out to Bill Begain out there listening.
They've been... Just do a
Begain Construction if you need a home remodel.
Don't give any spoilers.
Or you need a new backsplash.
Oh, you're going
to
go see it,
I'm
right?
going to go see it.
Well, yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay, Don't say anything. Yeah.
Okay, I won't. I didn't even think.
I'm in the middle of an ad. If you need a new home remodel done or a backsplash put in, Begain Construction is there for all your needs. Go to www.begainconstruction.com. Ask for Bill. Tell him Bill sent you.
What's a backsplash?
A backsplash. Backsplash is, you know, in your kitchen. Are you being serious?
Yeah, no, I'm joking. I was made to put a backsplash in.
Oh, you
I just
done
thought
it?
With your mind.
I thought you were asking because when Bill walked in today and you were messing around under the sink, he said, "Oh, are you messing with that U pipe?"
Yeah, I've replaced the U pipe before. I've done some
wrench.
Plumbing. I'm somewhat handy. All right.
I remember you being proud you'd installed an arse rinser on the side of your
That was years ago when I had babies.
Toilet.
Yeah. I want to. Do you have a bidet?
No.
You seem like a bidet guy.
No. Oh, fuck no. No? I had a roommate once that bought one of those that you can put. I thought that was the most disgusting thing. You're going to touch that? You're gonna,
but see, the people would say that's the most
yeah, it's the better.
Cleanest thing.
If it was your own.
It's cleaning your arse.
If you live with other people, I'm not touching that knob.
The knob that... Well, there is no knob.
There's a knob on at least this one.
Oh,
yeah,
there's
a knob that you turn the thing on.
Huh. Well, at least you know they've not wiped their own sweaty ass before they touch it.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
My auntie, who had to basically raise my three cousins almost basically in poverty, had a bidet. Like, what the fuck?
She was in poverty but had a bidet.
Bidet.
Is it pronounced bidet?
I call it bidet.
We never had a bidet, but we had one of those jacuzzi tubs.
Have you still
up.
Got your ass rinser, though?
No, I took that. That was to clean cloth diapers. I just spray off the cloth diapers. We tried to do cloth diapers for our kids because we were being like...
Oh, yeah.
Very eco.
All the hip parent, and it lasts about 3 weeks
and the
is
kids
what
got,
I heard.
Yeah, they get horrible rashes from them. And
oh, really?
It's a huge pain in the ass, and they're all brown. You don't want to put a brown diaper on a kid.
Did you have shit under your fingernails at all
times?
Didn't
last long.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when like an eco right on family are like, "Yeah, we're gonna do old school nappies, terry cloth," and then next time you see them, they just look like
what happened? Costco for $300 of diapers. Yeah, no, it's not good. Not good for any. Well, it's good for the earth, but
I thought you were gonna spray the kids' asses with it. You know,
we might have done some
hose
of that.
Them down.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but we had some sexual play with it, as you can imagine. I never had a bidet, but I used to get in the jacuzzi and turn sideways and have the jets shoot into my
genital
anus.
Soup.
Yeah,
those things.
You've done that,
we
sure,
all did
right?
that.
We all did that. Right?
Those
it's
things
quite
are
a feeling.
It's a rite
genital
of passage.
Soup. They're revolting.
Very hard to keep clean. Very hard. All right, Vizmaster.
What is the jacuzzi or your ring piece?
My ring piece, both. Very difficult to keep clean.
Alrighty.
Especially my ring piece. Using that one.
Alrighty. I feel like this has lost a bit of shine in the last couple of weeks. I really did put effort into picking better things.
I didn't get much of a response from Christian when I texted you guys that over the weekend my wife was gone.
I was working. Yeah, I couldn't really engage.
And she'd gone to a wedding, and so I was home alone, and I was going to posh box.
Oh, right.
But it was so humid out that I had to peel the Post-it note first.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even respond.
I think of peeling the Post-it note every day now.
You do?
Ever since
peeling
then.
It?
Yeah.
Well, the weather's changed, so you might not have to.
It doesn't matter.
Mm. I put the phone down for long periods of time.
Good for
long.
You. Good for you.
Why was it called posh boxing?
I don't remember.
Because if you're posh, right?
You're rich.
No, no. it's an English language thing, right? If you're posh, you refer to yourself as one. All one goes to the bathroom, one does this, right?
Okay.
So posh boxing comes from knocking one out.
Knocking
and
one.
Who
out.
Is always knocking one out?
Who is the one in that? Right.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. But I get it.
The one. That's the syntactic genius of the term.
That's clever.
The one would be the seminal fluid. Yes.
Well, no. Knocking one out is having a wank.
Yes.
But if a posh person was to describe a boxer, they might say, "Oh, he's always knocking one out.
Oh, meaning right,
he's always
right.
knocking
boxer,
me
right.
out." Yeah.
It just means beating off. Don't mm-hmm. think too
yeah.
much about it.
Yeah. Overthink it. All right. This is the comeback week. It's been a slack, shitty 2 weeks for Profanosaurus, and I think we need to get back. So I've really,
well, if this
really
tanks, it's out.
Yeah, if this
we'll just
if,
play,
if we
can
can't
afford it.
If we can't revive this, it's done. All right. So we'll start with Bill, out of tradition. What is a noun? What is a toilet cuckoo?
A toilet cuckoo?
Yeah.
Please spell cuckoo for me.
Cuckoo. C-U-C-K-O-O. Toilet cuckoo, as in the bird.
Well, I feel like this is this, you seem to be very confident
over
there. Just settle down over there.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's easy, but this is similar to the Kaiser Soze, because it refers to when you make a bowel movement and it disappears down the drain pipe hole, but then later resurfaces and peeks its head out like a cuckoo bird in a cuckoo clock. Final answer.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought of too. I think you nailed it.
But it could be. Now that I think more about it, it could be when you're going to the bathroom and the turd sticks out its head out of your arsehole, like a cuckoo.
That's the turtle's head.
Turtle's
you're
head. Yeah.
In the wrong.
What about?
I didn't know if they're just.
What about splashback? Maybe it's splashback.
Oh, when it splashes.
Oh, and then
the
water? Room falls silent. Right.
No,
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, you're almost there, both of you. The act of shitting into another person's toilet and leaving without flushing,
ooh,
in order to surprise the owner.
When they lift up the thing.
When they lift
up
the
lid.
I did that to Nolan Rafferty one time at his house.
You did?
Yeah.
My kids do it every day. They leave one in there.
All righty. Let's see. Come on, then. We got to revive this bit. All right, Christian.
Yeah.
What is, it's a noun again, it's what is the never-ending story?
I mean, I know it's a movie. I imagine it's a book, too, but I know that's not what the answer is. The never-ending story. Oh, God. I mean, it could be anything. It could be somebody that goes on and on and on and on, somebody that drinks too much and tells a story that never ends. That's too easy.
Think sexual.
Yeah, I think sexual.
He just did a turd one, so he's switching gears to
right,
sex.
Right,
now.
Right, right.
Be inside the mind
right,
of Mark Gear.
Right. Is it also have something to do with drinking too much and never being able to come to completion during
ooh,
a sexual act?
Ooh. I like that. Mine was gonna be the never ending story is the dribble that comes from the penis after either coitus or mm-hmm. going to the bathroom. It keeps producing some kind of fluid.
No, you're both nowhere near on this. It's the one and only mistake you ever made that her indoors brings up during every argument or minor disagreement.
Oh, you really
never-ending
yes.
story.
You really changed it up on us with that
yes,
one.
I've got quite a few of those. Actually.
Would you like to comment to your listening wife?
No, I just like to say hello to my wife, who's at home right now. I know she's listening. I love you very much. It's been 19 wonderful years.
All righty. We're back to Bill. Let's just get through this quicker then. It's an adjective. What is to, it's a phrase, actually. What is to open up the dirty window out? Give me the point of origin.
I mean, what country it comes from, this term?
Yeah.
Point of origin.
Yeah.
What do you mean, point of
origin? You get a bonus point if you can name the song with the lyric, "Open up the dirty window." You're the musician.
Can you repeat it?
There's a line in a song, "Open up the dirty window."
Well, the song is from the Pogues and their ballad, "The Opening of the Dirty Window."
Nope. Come on, Mr. Music.
So I'm just naming the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Open up the dirty window. It's not the bathroom window. That would
and
be the Beatles.
We were talking about, I'll give you both a clue. We were talking about famous New Zealanders the other week. This is a famous New Zealand.
Oh, I thought of more Australian people over the week. I was like, Men at Work. That was it.
Yeah. Ah, that's a good one. New Zealanders.
Famous
band.
New Zealanders.
Oh, you know what? Aha.
Kweekwag.
Aha is another Australian band.
They are?
I think so.
Fuck. They're Norwegian. Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ,
I don't know if they're Norwegian, but they're Scandinavian.
Anyway.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Don't you know where Aha is from?
Aha, a classic. All right. Famous New Zealand songstress. I'm giving you the gender.
Ace of Base.
Who was Swedish.
Okay.
I don't know anyone from New Zealand.
Natasha Bedingfield and her 90s classic Unwritten.
Natasha Bedingfield. It was on the tip of my tongue.
Well, I don't know about that, but opening the dirty window is spreading the butt cheeks of a gal to expose her O-ring.
I feel like that's pretty obvious.
Yeah, that's opening up the dirty window.
Nope. There's two versions, and you're not near either of them.
Who?
To empty the back body in a singular motion.
Huh?
To settle down with the intention of searching out something filthy on the internet.
Oh. Open the dirty window. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You ever have that happen to you where, never happened to me, but... Where you just go to open your phone and somebody's there like at the same time and you open the phone to something dirty?
No. I don't use my phone for
dirty stuff.
For dirty stuff. I don't like that. Yeah. It just doesn't feel like that's not the tool.
Me neither.
But one time years and years ago when you could first buy a portable Wi-Fi kind of like a little box that you carry with you that you get a Wi-Fi signal out of this before like you get a hotspot on your phone. I was using one of those on the train one time and there was an attractive woman sitting next to me and I was trying to download a torrent of some movie, something, and the page came up and there was 30 pictures of women on the page and I didn't want to seem like I was looking this up on the train right there. And I wanted to make it clear to this woman next to me that that's not what I was there for. And so in order to show that, I went, ah, and I kind of raised my hand. And that caught her attention to look
and
at my
she
screen.
She wasn't even looking.
She wasn't even looking. She didn't care.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, I want to end on this one. You both understand what it is. It's bullying the Moomin.
Oh, yeah, of course. Bullying the what?
The Moomin.
The Moomin? Spell it, please.
Moomin.
Oh.
M-O-M... What?
Bullying the Moomin.
M-O-M?
M-O-O-M-I-N.
That's when the Moomin would be a woman's breasts because they look like udders of a cow and this cow moo and you're manipulating those. Bullying them, pushing them around.
You know, if it was spelled with an A, Moo Man, I'd go for it. Like Moomin. But Moomin sounds more like some sort of cult.
Those are the Moonies.
Yeah.
Bullying the Moomin.
Nah, we know. Moomins was a TV series, kids' TV series.
The fuck knows anything about that? In England?
I know,
in the 70s? How the fuck do we know that? This is just
challenging.
You know what this is? This Viz thing. It's getting us to say, it's like free associating sexual thoughts, and it just exposes us to. This is what gets me into the locker room talk that is causing so many problems on the home front.
So should we declare this the last ever Profanosaurus?
Put it away for a while.
I think we should. Right. I think because it's easy to ask people what these made up these words and these made up definitions by somebody that runs a magazine are. And then be like, no, that's not it.
Yeah.
But what about real words? What about real difficult words from the dictionary?
What does that mean? Quiz you out? Well, we could try that.
Right. Like, what is Tergiversation.
Well, mass debater here.
Yeah, I was started in the state of Massachusetts.
All right, Bill, can you tell me what the word tergiversation means?
Spell it, please.
Tergiversation.
It's the when a man finds himself in the act of becoming turgid.
Yes, and go on.
Well, he's turgid. He's turgid.
But go on without using part of the word in the definition.
What do you mean?
Define turgid.
Well, it's a sexual term for a man's being aroused and his member being strong. Turgid.
And so the entire definition together is?
Is the turgidization of the strengthening and hardening of something.
See, fucking nailed it.
Fucking right, I nailed it, because I'm one of the greatest debaters in the history of Massachusetts high school debate.
A mass debater.
All right, last one with Mark. I want to do one. Mark afford pants from a department store?
Which department store?
Macy's. Would Mark ever go to Macy's to buy...
That's got to be the pants. Question. It's not can he afford the pants.
Yeah, because he can say, well, I can afford it, but I won't buy it.
Right.
Would he ever go to Macy's to buy new pants?
Macy's to buy new pants. For an event that he doesn't have pants that he needs specifically for that event. Not even
no,
then.
He would go to the village to get those.
Yeah. I'm gonna
the answer
say,
is a clear
I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to say no.
Yeah, it's a no. You would never buy pants from a department store.
15 years past that.
Yeah. So if you had a formal event to go to.
I normally just put my work trousers on.
What are those? The ones you're wearing right now?
No, black work trousers.
Yeah. Would you wear a Harrington?
I've got several Harringtons.
All right, Harrington, let's talk about today's comedian.
How many minutes
comedian.
Are we at?
We're at 26. 45 minutes.
27, having, as you asked.
27, but, fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Today we've come together to watch discuss having watched the comedic stylings of comedian. What do we say comedian?
I think we just say comedian.
No I-E-N-N-E anymore. Mm-hmm. Comedian. Eliza Schlesinger, a tough one to find for me just because of the spelling threw me. I figured it was E-L-I-Z-A, and it was S-C-H-L-E. But no, it's with an I. Eliza Schlesinger.
I noticed a lot of times she just goes by Eliza.
Yeah, did you see that in the credits?
Yes.
Like written by Eliza.
Mm-hmm.
Produced by Eliza. That was...
She has a cult of fans, though.
Yes.
Did you see those credits with the homemade
pictures?
T-shirts?
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Everybody was, when she was doing her characters or when she was like alluding to a joke that she had once made before, everybody was on board. Everybody knew exactly what she was talking about.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Well, this is my first time laying eyes on her for you, Mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Same. So what? Tell us a little bit about her and why you chose her and all that.
I chose her because last Wednesday when we were coming in to record this podcast, before I left, I had turned my TV on to watch the special that we reviewed last week. And when it turned on, the WGN Morning News was on, and they were interviewing Eliza Schlesinger before her upcoming performance at the Chicago Theater. And I needed a comic to recommend. I had somebody kind of on board, and what's the term? What's the baseball term, Bill?
On deck.
On deck. Yeah, I had somebody kind of on deck, but I decided to call an audible and go with Eliza instead. And here we are.
And so when we asked you, it just came off the top of your head in that moment.
I looked it up before I came in. Like as I was sitting there before I watched the special that we were going to review last week, I looked her up, and that's when I saw that she had a performance at the Vic Theater that was directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, and I thought, well, that's just perfect.
Yeah. Fucking half of Netflix is her now.
Yep.
Now I've watched one. Like Do you want to watch one of these 17 other Eliza Schlesinger?
She's got six on there, yeah.
So they obviously, and I'm an idiot, but they do some kind of development deal with Netflix, and they're committed to the five specials or more just with Netflix. Is that how it works? I know that was the deal with Chappelle, I think. But
it's over the course of like 8 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, it isn't all in a row.
And she does specials with other, like she's got one on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think she's pretty prolific.
Yeah. Okay. And what do we know? Where's she from? This is 2016. She's working then, popular then, popular now. What's her backstory?
She was born in New York City. She moved as a child to Dallas. I believe it was Dallas. I know it was somewhere in Texas. I'm almost sure it was Dallas. And she was there for a long time throughout childhood. Attended school there for a while, then went back up to somewhere in the Northeast to finish school. Studied abroad on the sea for a while. I didn't look into it, but she did a semester at sea. Yeah, which I only assume is just, you know, learning on a boat.
Well, she could have been in the Sea Org.
What is that?
Well, that's the adolescent branch of Scientology, where they take all the Scientologist kids and they put them in this faux naval organization, and they're basically slaves.
Oh, wow.
Sea Org.
I don't think that was it. She seems, she doesn't seem like she's really the type that falls into a Scientology trade.
I guess that accounts for the mermaid.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's right. Where she wrote the mermaid bit.
At sea. Yeah, and the mermaid bit is her talking about, this was filmed in 2016. So she's talking about a trend in which women want to become mermaids, and she kind of dissects that and tears it all apart of why that's such a stupid thing to want to do.
Yeah, she certainly does.
However, back in 2016, I was very unaware of a trend of women wanting to be mermaids. That must have gone right over my head.
I wasn't aware of that. What was going on in 2016?
Was the first Trump presidency.
Yeah.
Trump won.
Mm-hmm.
Became president.
I think this was recorded before he'd come in, though.
She didn't even mention him. Right. So
She mentions, oh my God, what the fuck is going on with this country and the world. So that, to me, I was like, okay, 2016, maybe he's in, you know what I mean? Like, he's ascending
he's running.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody thought he was going to win.
Right. So I think this might have almost dropped between a win and him coming in.
And that would make sense, because I was looking at the order in which some of her specials were released, and the one that Netflix released in 2013 was recorded December of 2012, and then it was released in September of 2013, so almost a full year later. So if this is anything like that special, there could have been almost a full year in between.
What do you venture her politics to be? What do you think she is playing?
All over the fucking place. That's one of my comments.
Yeah.
I mean, she starts off with, you know, the standard sex stuff, but then goes into a diatribe about talking about fucking and sex is bad. Yeah.
Because
she's talking about when she's all of a sudden she did this pivot. I felt into, you know, sexual politics and feminism and et cetera. And I found myself trying to, like, catching her out on stuff.
Mm. She talked about women don't call each other whores and sluts. And then she does a lot of that in her act. So
it's just confusing. But I get what she's doing. But
yeah. Yeah.
I know that she backs trans rights, she backs Black Lives Matter, but she also, at least in 2021, was backing Israel. That was something I was surprised to see.
2021 was a different time.
It was a different time.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. She came across to me, and I don't know anything about her, but I'm obviously very feminist, but she seemed like from that upper crust MAGA.
From what it looks like, her background with her education,
yeah.
It looks like her family had money to give her a proper education. I think she was even like in an all girls boarding school. That could be completely wrong, but it was a school like that. It was a school that not everybody gets to go to.
Yeah, it's Rutgers. No, something.
Fucking Rutgers.
I'm talking about earlier on, like
State
like
University in New Jersey. Forget
childhood
that.
Childhood adolescence.
No, her university was some very posh place.
Yeah, probably.
She did talk about Rutgers.
She did.
In her act.
And
yep.
she I missed that. She did say in her act, I'm upper middle class.
She did, yeah. Mm-hmm. She was unabashed about it. That's mm-hmm. right. Okay, so her special starts off. You're hearing her first couple of bits. How are you liking it? Are you like, ooh, I this woman's high energy, obviously, right? She comes in gangbusters and real emotive and physical and stalking the stage at our very own Chicago Theater, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, that, this one it was at the Vic.
Oh, this one was not at the Vic. We watched.
The one that we watched?
It was at the Vic. You watched the wrong one.
I could see the theater. That was not the Vic.
It was the Vic.
Nope.
Definitively.
That
the
was
Vic.
No Vic. It looked like the Chicago Theater. The
It looked nothing. It was the fucking Vic. Do we have to go wiki on this?
Fuck. Well, yeah, look it up.
I'll look it up.
Right, there's no need to fucking look it up.
He'll look it up. So she comes out. She's very physical, very brash, yeah, right? Yeah. In your face.
I liked the fact that she's an attractive woman and almost immediately started contorting her face.
Oh, you like that?
Unattractive faces. Oh. I thought.
Like a Carol Burnett?
Yeah.
Type of physical comedian?
Yeah, I think it shows moxie.
Did you see any Carol Burnett in Eliza Schlesinger? You're a big fan of Carol Burnett?
If you mean I am completely unaware of the work of both, then yes.
You're unaware of the work of Carol Burnett?
I mean, I'm aware of her name from seeing it mentioned. Yeah. I never watched her. Yeah.
You should brush up on your history of comedy. Right?
Oh,
you might find a few chapters on the legendary Carol Burnett. Arguably the greatest comedian ever to live. Yeah. Okay. You like it. You like the physicality. I know you don't like physicality.
Don't
in comedy,
like it.
So you're not liking this.
No.
You're
like
watching
it.
This, and I'm thinking about you as we're watching this, and I'm thinking Mark is not liking this.
I've got all the things I've got.
What do you hate?
Pretty much everything out of the gate.
Yeah.
There's trite material.
Yep. Drunk, being drunk.
Attractive drunk girl material. Ugh. She did grab me briefly with a thing about optimal makeup where she was like, guys, if you pick a woman up late, that was good. Yeah.
But you didn't laugh.
But, you know, then she's like, yeah, you know, women makeup, the men's equivalent is adjusting your balls. I'm like, are we fucking going there? Then the handbag stuff. And then it sort of turned interesting after that.
Where does it turn for you interesting?
It turns interesting in that she is explaining the whole thing with the black bouncer. And I'm thinking, ooh, she's digging a bit of a hole here for the faithful.
Yep. Showing her white stripes.
Yeah. So I thought, well, now I'm interested at least.
Yeah.
And then this just sudden turn and segue into the feminism from all this trite, I could hear this from any comedian bullshit. Then I was like, okay, we might be going somewhere now. What about you?
And did it go somewhere for you? We'll get there. We'll slow.
Where was it at?
The Vic.
Really?
Yeah, confirmed kill at the Vic. Oh.
Confirmed Vic.
Yeah.
It seemed very nice in that theater. It didn't seem like the Vic.
I think they dressed it up. They put those lights up, you know, on the stage.
Yeah, but when they would pan to the loge section, the balcony, it looked like the balcony of the Chicago Theater. Anyway.
The physicality bit, it was almost like female Dane Cook dancing around in a fucking...
That's right.
I'll show all my cards now. It doesn't fucking matter. 20 minutes in almost, but this would have been the first one I turned off that I couldn't, I just couldn't. I mean, there's been others that I did not like, but I knew that I was in for it. The fact that I knew it was 117 minutes.
Yeah. So
or an hour. I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. And so we're 20 minutes in and I cannot stand this act. I cannot take it on any level. Awful. And whenever a comedian says, you know what I'm saying, Chicago? am I right, Chicago? Come on, Chicago. That drives me crazy. And then she did the a little later on the, and this has to go. Any comedian that does this bit is showing their hat colors when they do the car wash inflatable guy. Bit.
I was wondering. I was like, is this the first time?
Because
I'm thinking, is 2016? Like, is this not? Has that not been done by everybody yet at this point? I mean,
how
it has
many
to.
Times?
Right.
Do we have to hear that?
That's the oldest joke.
The car wash inflatable man.
Right.
That's the final nail in the coffin.
That was
tired. Only like 20 minutes in. So
that was tired 2 months after the car washes started using the inflatable man. Everybody got everybody made that joke for 2 months, and everyone said, "Okay, we're done with it."
Yeah. Overusing of the crone voice.
Oh, the goblin voice. Yeah.
That's one of her characters too. That's what I was saying.
That's,
I think
when she started doing it, the whole audience.
Right, it's pandering.
What about the hashtags that kept coming up? Yeah. Is that in 2016, or was that setting up the hashtag bit?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's funny because I was watching it on my illegal Fire Stick setup, and so I wasn't even paying attention to those because I thought they were like, you know, like watermarks, like from whoever, like, you know, pirated this from whatever.
No, it was on.
And I didn't read one until the very long one at the end of one of her jokes when she's talking about like having like 16 hashtags at the end of an Instagram. Also, just side note, it's kind of interesting because this is Instagram 10 years ago we're talking about, you know, when it was just photos, it wasn't videos, and it was before like all the bots infiltrated in the comment sections, and the algorithm was set to kind of feed you what you want and what can, you know, direct you in the direction they want to send you. But anyway, so I was trying to put myself in the mindset of Instagram back then, especially when she mentioned being on Pinterest. I mean, when's the last time somebody talked about Pinterest? You know, that's not something people do anymore, right? Yeah, right. Like, okay. So, yeah. So I'm trying to like remember like what was Instagram like in 2016, you know, and hashtags were something.
Yeah.
I had a job in 2012, 2013, where hashtags were becoming popular. And the guy that I worked for asked me to explain to him what hashtags do almost every week.
Some old guy.
He was only a few years older than I was, but they were brand new then. So this was only a few years after that. But yeah, I wasn't reading those hashtags, and I was wondering, they kept coming up too throughout the rest of the show.
Yeah.
What
would you do if you're watching this in 2016 and that hashtag comes up? You're supposed to you're supposed to type that hashtag in a.
I guess maybe that I thought maybe that was the goal. Like maybe she thought if she puts the hashtags down there, then people her like her super fans that they showed at the end of the show, maybe they'll start using those hashtags. You know,
I just wondered if it was setting up the hashtag bit. You know, it was very small. I don't know. I don't fucking know.
It was hard for me too to, and so I was surprised at the end when we saw these super fans wearing her shirts and stuff. Because to me, it seemed like the jokes. A lot of these jokes were bombing. I didn't hear uproarious laughter. I'd hear the polite applause at some of the jokes, right? Like, but I didn't hear. You know, it's funny how everybody's special. We go back to like certain specials, like that really pipe in the laughter. They really mic the laughter in the crowd. Maybe a smaller space, you can hear it more. But like, I wasn't hearing a lot of laughter. Like when she did that CrossFit joke about how, you know, that was a horrible joke, and it maybe. That's why I think nobody laughed. But
I
like,
thought I got a really good response when she was doing. And then you know what I was thinking
about
too, because she was simulating doing the rope thing with the microphone cable, and the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, don't do that to the microphone cable.
Oh yeah, like it's gonna mess up the cable.
Oh God, what are you doing?
I don't know. I thought it felt like she bombed to me.
Huh. I thought I heard a lot of response.
I thought it was all hero worship.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but you know what though? The reason why I might think that. When I watch this, I watch it with headphones, and one of the headphones is out.
Oh,
one
so
of
maybe
the, one of the earpieces.
Maybe the laughter is all
hearing it one ear.
Maybe the laughter is not stereo. The laughter is only mono.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
It's kind of funny you mention that though, because I think some of the other specials that we've reviewed that have a similar like hero on stage, like this one, like Larry the Cable Guy, you know, people going there wearing the cutoff, you know, shirts with the no sleeves. Gallagher, sort of a similar thing, like not a ton of laughter from the audience, but everybody's engaged, you know, because everyone came there to see that act and they've probably heard the jokes before.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, there was one really funny thing in there. Because I can't afford Netflix with no ads, I get ads.
Okay.
And
what
was funny was she was doing this whole bit about, you know, like women's images of themselves and we shouldn't do that. And then it cuts to ad and it was a WeGoV weight loss ad. Like, just literally, like, Netflix must have fucking planned it. Like,
we saw that in another special, didn't we?
Yeah, that happened before.
And like, so literally cuts from her, like, you shouldn't tell women what they should look like. WeGoV. And then it ends with, like, a woman looking into camera going, we go, V, is it time? And then it cuts straight fucking back to
her. Back into
her, like,
act about,
oh,
being thin.
God, it was fucking perfect.
I wonder how.
I think someone at Netflix
synced up those algorithms are with
somebody
that.
With a sense of humor.
I think someone at Netflix, because I know where we're putting this fucking ad. That was hilarious.
Someone in the traffic department at Netflix. Unbelievable.
Oh, dear.
Well, the whole time I'm watching, I'm thinking, this feels like a TED Talk, right? Like, and I wrote down early, like, TED, this is a feminist TED Talk, and then, I do not want to hear it.
That's another thing, too, because she does say something about it.
At the end,
TED
she does.
Talk, yeah. And I started thinking, like, I used to work with somebody around 2016, this is a woman that I work with, she would always, like, at the end of a long description of something, she would always say, "And thanks for listening to my TED Talk." And the first time she said it, I thought it was hilarious because I thought she made it up. It was the first time I heard anybody say that. I didn't know it was an internet thing that everybody was saying. And so it's just like the timing lines up, you know.
Yeah.
Which kind of harkens back to the outside the car wash inflatable man joke, you know.
Yeah, maybe she was the first. She was
maybe she was the first person, and it took off right away.
But do you feel like comedy is evolving in some ways towards more of a TED Talk format
for the audience that wants that
I want that.
You
I
do?
Want you, I want you to impart something.
You
to
do?
Me. I want knowledge, not just laughs.
You do?
Yes, I do.
You really do? You're being
I
serious?
I really fucking do, yeah.
See, I don't at all. Not in comedy. I'll get that in the newspaper or whatever. I want someone to just be funny. And silly. I don't need that beating over the head about feminism and body image and all that shit.
No, I don't want any of that shit. I want someone to do. I wanted someone to talk to me about historic. Like, she ended with the Shark Tank bit, and I actually did enjoy that.
Oh, God, are you kidding? That was the most worst bit I've ever heard in my life.
Really? I did put this is a sketch, not a stand-up routine at the start. But when she's like the psychotic, I mean, and she, where she kept effing it up from every time I was just, okay, I might be getting on board. She'd go into some ridiculous physical pantomime, walking like a fucking, and then I'd be like, God damn it, now I'm fucking gone again.
Yeah.
And like with that, you know, it was the standing back to back thing was funny, but then just oversell, and then. I did put, you know, it was kind of funny because she'd been calling for women to respect each other and unity and and then she ends in a sketch with one woman basically berating another.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you really don't know where you're headed with this, my dear.
I can say with, you know, all these specials that we've watched over the many, many years we've been doing this program.
Coming up on our 10th anniversary.
Yeah, 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
I did not even, I couldn't have been more dead-faced. I didn't even sniff. There wasn't even a breath of laugh. Nothing. Not one. I was just resting, bitch-facing her the whole time.
I don't think I've ever sat in a chair in silence and looked at the TV screen for as long as I did after this one ended.
You were the same, yeah.
I just stared at the TV, and I stretched, and I stood up, and I went, all right.
It sounds like you had a couple laughs, though.
But I think I might have been trying. So we won't talk about this now. It'll have to be, you know, a Patreon thing. I've got some good, behind-the-scenes gossipy stuff.
About her?
Well, everything, like a few things around it. So.
All right. Why can't we talk about it here?
Why can't we do that now?
We can't.
Yeah, because you can't talk about it. Because
we don't have.
Yeah, because I can't, because I have to edit it out, so what's the point? So we'll do it when we close the mics. And for listeners out there looking to get a Patreon subscription.
Oh, is this when we start?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You won't reveal it on the free show.
$3 a month.
I'll reveal my sources and tell you everything.
Bill, can Mark afford a Patreon
subscription
to our podcast?
No. Maybe with ads. Patreon with ads.
There was one good line. There was a bit. She got Nikki Glaser at one point, which you must have felt, okay, she's getting Nikki Glaser.
They're kind of contemporaries, right? Like they're the same. They're rising up at the same time. Nikki Glaser's was 26. 16 too that we watched.
Yeah. Was that? Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like it was.
But she says something Nikki Glaser-esque, which is like, girls, when your guy is lying there spent after shag, don't be talking to him, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then she put, I'll tell you, and you're always like, what are you thinking? And she goes, I'll tell you the one thing he's going to say is, I'm not thinking about you in a wedding dress.
Yeah.
And that made me laugh.
That made you laugh out loud a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Well, she made me really appreciate Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, that's weird. Nikki Glaser is so seemingly similar, but not.
But yeah, because the material's not that. Well, hers is a little more
preachy,
feminist,
yeah,
and very much more preachy. But I did write down, like, these are really good observations she's making, right?
Yeah,
about the world, and they're very smart, right? But the way she's delivering them is horrendously off-putting. Right, like I just like how you get turned off when she starts stomping around the stage or doing the faces or, you know, the voice. Like, that's the same thing for me. She should take her writing and give it to somebody who's likable,
you know,
on stage. You know, like Glaser. She should write for Nikki Glaser or somebody else. Right, she's a good writer.
I was thinking this seems to be coming a thing now where we go good material, wrong delivery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but clearly for a lot of people, she's amazing. It's just what you like and prefer. Some people like all the stuff that we hate, right? Clearly. But I could not sit through, I will never sit through her act ever again, right?
Pick another.
No, don't.
I actually am gonna watch another one.
Why?
See, because this was directed and may have been influenced.
Oh, there's the scuttlebutt that he's.
No, it's nothing to do with that. It's I'm interested to see. That's 2016. I'm interested to see where she is now, to be honest.
Well, she's here last week.
And was she?
That's what he's talking about. She was on WGN. She's performing
at the Chicago Theater.
Well, whatever her last special is, I'm gonna give it at least 20 minutes to see.
Okay.
I'm interested.
You let me know.
I'll report back.
Yeah,
next
report
week.
Back. And if we're wrapping it up, I do want to make comment about, because we always talk about the comedian's attire, how they dress.
Yeah.
Right? She was basically in like a Victoria's Secret lingerie.
Yeah, right? That was, it was a
top. It was like a bodysuit.
See-through.
Yeah. Bodysuit.
Yeah.
Like bra.
Right. Yeah, what would you, lace.
Lace.
Yeah. Black right. lace,
right? Yeah. How does that register for you? I can't remember a comedian dressing so sexual on stage. Maybe
it didn't really make a difference to me.
No,
no. When she first came out, that it's an interesting look for a comedian. You know?
Yeah. That's right. Like comedians, they don't. Right. Like.
It was almost,
even if you had a man with like an open shirt and a sex symbol, that would not work.
It was almost
right?
like after initially
singer.
Seeing it, I purposely wanted to not pay attention to it because I didn't want that to be a focal point.
Yeah, it was a
of the show.
It was another in the long list of turnoffs.
I felt like it was because there's a couple of things where she flexes, and it's like, yeah, you're doing that because we all know you are working out like crazy and stuff, but I don't know. I mean, it's not, it's just the, like I say, female equivalent of Dane Cook in his fucking vest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually not against, I think we've talked about this before. It's show business and sex sells. So stop looking like a sack of shit when you're on stage. At least make an effort.
See, we've disagreed about this before.
I don't think
sex and comedy go together. I don't think there should be a sexual element to the comedy. You can be an attractive person, right, and good looking or whatever, but don't sex it up. Don't sex it up. That's a different venue that I go to for that. Right?
Why is it okay for a rock star to be like, you know,
that's
and
different.
Not a comedian?
No,
because it's
comedy,
sex.
It's about the art.
It's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's not sex, drugs, and laughs.
Yeah, that's sex, drugs, and stand-up.
Why
comedy.
Is it not that?
It's just not. It's not meant to be. Those two don't go together.
It's a bit reactionary, isn't it, Bill?
I don't know. I'm a little Puritan in my. comedic opinions.
Well, I think if you're going to get the kids into comedy, you got to appeal to their base.
Why do you want the kids into comedy? It's like, why do we want all these kids playing golf? We don't need kids playing golf, right? Like, we don't need the next generation of
is that,
kids.
Why is that important? Is that what's going on now?
Yeah, they're ruining golf.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of kids on the golf course. Yeah.
God, I don't need them at the golf course.
Get them out of there.
Right? We need the same people doing comedy that have always been doing comedy. Older white men.
I want the people I like.
And their observations.
Oh, boy.
And hopefully, Christian, that's who we'll see next, an older white gentleman.
Hey, you know what?
I can get back to enjoying.
I can get you part of the way there.
Don't give it up yet. Let's go around. Christian, Eliza Schlesinger. And she uses, I thought it was funny that she used one of our early review measures by calling her special Confirmed Kills. We used to save.
That was one of the cycles.
Yeah, one of the many descriptors for our reviews. Confirmed Kill. Let's use Confirmed Kill or Confirmed Bomb. Confirmed Kill or Confirmed Bomb.
This is a tough one. I wasn't a huge fan of the material, but I normally judge based on did they do the job they went out to do. I feel that she did. However, to call it a confirmed kill is a bit much. It's too much. I'll have to go the other direction for a confirmed bomb.
Okay, confirmed bomb. I'm going to go next because I want you to... I'm not sure about you. You know where I stand on this. One of the worst comedians I've ever watched in my life. Honestly.
Sexist.
No. I like many female comedians.
Clearly didn't listen to the message of the material, did you, Bill?
I thought the material was quite, a lot of it, the second half, like you mentioned, was quite good and very well written, very smart humor. I've never liked a person on stage less than I liked this gal. Right, and for that reason, I'm giving it an enormous Hiroshima-like bomb.
Do the sound effect. You missed
yeah,
it.
Use your water bottle.
Oh yeah, wait. I don't know if I have enough water.
It's
not enough water in it.
There we go.
Oh, it doesn't matter because I should have had you go next because
I
agreed with him.
Yeah.
Fuck that up. We'll fix it in post.
It's unanimous. It was a lot of things wrong about comedy in this thing. As much as I tried, there was just too much wrong in it.
Say you hated it.
I tried too. I really wanted to like it. Halfway through, I was trying to like it.
Yeah. And off air, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I can't wait for off air. All right, tune in to the Patreon show, everybody else. Next week you're gonna hear us talk about.
We are going to keep it in Chicago with Caleb Heron.
What?
We are going
Is
to
he an
be,
open micer?
Yeah, you can see him here on Tuesdays. he has a special called Caleb Heron Model Comedian. It's on HBO.
How do you spell it?
Oh.
H-E-A-R-O-N.
Who's going to lend me the $8?
I'll give you mine. You can use my login.
Yeah. Maybe Kyle will let you use his login.
I'll give you my niece's login. That's what I'm using.
Yeah.
Caleb Huron?
Huron. Hear as in what you do with your ears, and then on as in, you know.
Huron.
Yeah,
H-E-A-R-O-N.
Yep.
Caleb. He's a Chicagoan?
He started stand-up here in Chicago. I don't know if he was born here, but that will all be revealed.
Did he do the Lodge?
Not that I'm trying to rack my brains. Not that I'm remembering.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that's right. The white male you were looking for.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Hopefully he's like Randy Feltface. I like him a lot. All right. Well, for Mark Geary, Christian Watson...
What?
Christian Watson.
Yeah.
Yes, Caleb Heron has done the Lincoln Lodge.
He has. Oh, he's an alumni.
One of the original, when this place opened, had a hit show here with Holmes Holmes.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, what do you know?
Fuck is my phone?
And it's on the bar up front.
Actually,
fuck.
I saw it up there. Don't worry, the door is locked.
Actually performed.
Kelsey's probably going through all my stuff.
Most likely.
Okay. All right. So, hey, you don't even know this guy, and he's walked your planks before.
Yep. Maybe he performed in the actual Lodge show, not that.
Well, get his ass on here afterwards.
All right.
If we like him.
Let's see what he's doing.
If we like him.
He's a nice bloke.
All right. We'll see you next week.